Live from America's finest city, this is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN 1700. And now, your hosts, Ryan White and David McKelvin.
Almost. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. I am Jack Rowell, and extra happy you're here with us. We have a great show for you today. In the house, we have John Burroughs of Rancho Financial, who's going to talk Fannie Mae, mortgage, and rates. Oh, my. How you doing, John?
I am doing better than can be expected.
Ah, well, hey, thanks you for coming in, and you're the bravest lender on the planet. And if you guys were in studio, you would see why. He is a warrior. Thanks for being here.
Oh, here it comes. I knew this was going to happen.
Also on the show, we have Rebecca Austin, who's going to shed some light on the Zillow Trulia nightmare and what it means to you. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Nice
it's a pleasure
to
be
you.
Here.
Absolutely. And so first off, right off the bat, I'm going to be out of a job, I heard, Rebecca.
Oh.
The Zillow Trulia thing has removed my occupation.
You know, a lot of real estate agents are actually a little bit nervous about what's going on in online with the ability to shop for a home online and maybe understand how much your home is worth online and all things that real estate agents used to be responsible for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, recently, just in the last week or two, Zillow actually, I mean, is a massive player in the real estate, online real estate market, and they've acquired Trulia. And so now many real estate agents are feeling like, wow, these guys are, you know, really just taking over real estate. And how do we fit in, you know, as real estate agents in the future? And you know, it's a really great conversation to have because Trulia and Zillow, these are great opportunities for you as a homeowner to gain information that you need when you're buying or selling a home. And really, a lot of times when we first start looking for a home to buy, we don't necessarily need a real estate agent to help us. We'd actually prefer just to do it on our own.
Sure.
You know, so that's where, you know, shopping online has really played a big part. The problem is that most people know about is that many times when we do get to a point where we see houses that we might be interested in buying and we reach out for information, number one, we never get a phone call back. Or two, if we do, it's from someone who doesn't really know a lot about the house that we're asking about. And
exactly.
Finally, the house was sold like 3 weeks ago or a month ago. So that's the biggest challenge with.
Or it turns out to be a gas station.
Yeah.
You know, something. Yeah, I get phone calls on my listings all the time from people that aren't represented. And I got to tell you, I roll my eyes from a listing agent point of view when they're not represented because it's usually one of two things. I can't be too prejudiced because it's not always that way, but it's usually some nice people from Wisconsin who want a nice three-bedroom, two-bath home under $100,000. Or, which is absolutely non-existent, or really, really low-end investors who are just trying to grind.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, I'll let you double end it. Mm-hmm. And Zillow and Trulia are all those people are finding me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also, I mean, the challenge with Zillow, you know, I don't mean to say big, horrible negative things about Zillow, because Zillow plays a role in the real estate market for sure. The reason that I feel it's kind of broken is that it was built from the idea of lead generation and of, you know, of revenue for a real estate firm, right, or for a real estate company. So they're not really there to sell houses. So it's kind of like broken from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because the information is not always accurate. As a matter of fact, you know, Jack is a listing agent. You know that you when you promote your listing on Zillow and it sells, you have to manually go in and mark it as sold. Now, if you don't, it's still for sale. It doesn't update automatically.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why. And Zillow honestly doesn't care. If they're getting hits on a house that's for sale, they're not motivated to keep the information accurate either. So it's an important role to have access to homes for sale. But the problem is that it's just not that accurate. And at some point, as a home shopper, you're just going to need to reach out to a professional to help you. And so for me as a real estate broker, I don't see a big threat with Zillow. It actually helps someone develop their what they're looking for in a home. And at some point when they are ready to go out and buy a house or look at a home, they will reach out to a professional to help them.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, and they really ought to, because finding the property isn't really the trick, is it?
That's the fun part, actually.
Yeah.
The shopping for the home is the fun part. The hard part is when you have to drop the offer and the negotiation of price and terms and, you know, the home inspection and escrow and how much do you do for your deposit and how long does this take?
Yeah.
And all of those things are very specialized that you need a real estate agent really to help you with. And the good news is most real estate agents will represent you on the buy side so that they can fight for your best interests at no charge. So it's not like it costs you anything.
Yeah.
So I just think the ideal process is, honestly, for me, if I were shopping for a home and not a real estate agent, I want to shop on my own. Like, I want to do that part by myself, because a lot of times I don't even know. I want to shop around without a lot of pressure.
Sure, you don't know what you even want.
Yeah.
This city, especially if you're not from that town.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so let me do that research on my own. Don't call me and try to sell me a house. Don't take me out and show me five homes and tell me to buy one. Like, I just want to figure that out on my own. And I think that that's why I'm not really threatened by Zillow. It's unfortunate the information isn't accurate. And what I see emerging now as I'm talking to other companies that are starting to play in the space is that there will be some amazing things coming in the future that help us to buy and sell real estate online with accurate information and things like that, that will begin to emerge and give like a Zillow and Trulia a run for their money in the future.
Well, Zillow and Trulia, you know, when they came out with this info and, you know, hey, Zillow's going to buy Trulia and we're going to do all this great stuff, all the great stuff they talked about, none of it had to do with accuracy.
Exactly. And they'll admit that.
Yeah, we kind of don't care.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you got to respect them for that. If, and it, like you said before, it's not their gig. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're a marketing company.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the future of real estate and where it's headed, I think it really just has to become more home buyer and home seller friendly. And I think that's where we're headed. And a lot more social too. I think that we'll see the ability, for instance, to shop for a home and just look for certain things that maybe we can't look for now. Like maybe I just want a really nice kitchen, you know, and there's a specific kitchen I like. I want a large kitchen. I want, you know, certain cabinets. And there'll be the ability in the future to shop with apps and different sites just for what I want and without any pressure from a real estate agent. And then when I'm ready to go out and actually look at that home or submit an offer, that's, I think, when the real estate agent will come in. And of course, someone like John would have to precede me with a pre-approval, which is also necessary. But
you know, I'm sitting here listening to the two of you, and it brings to mind some complaints I've gotten from my own buyers. And I've been a mortgage banker now for...
About us?
Well, not personally about you.
Good.
But I've been a mortgage banker for 31 years plus now. So I've been around the block a couple of times and certainly seen it from, you know, A to Z in this marketplace. And what I'm hearing now from my own buyers that are utilizing these services, they're actually starting to complain because they realize I'm not getting accurate information. I'm frustrated because I'm calling on something. Here I get excited. I think I found it. And all of a sudden it's not there. It's not really there. Mm-hmm. And so from that point of view, the consumer is getting educated and they get it. Just exactly what you said. And then on the other side of things, I think the high tech has gotten to the point where at what point is it too high tech and everything isn't automated and push a button and I got the information. I think kind of some old fashioned approaches to doing business are coming back into vogue. The face-to-face, the belly-to-belly thing, and, you know, talk to me, counsel me, coach me. I'm as a buyer, I don't know what I'm doing out there, and I'm relying on you folks to educate me and tell me things that I'm not going to get from an online blog. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's the wading through all the info, because I get calls all the time. Well, hey, how about this scenario, this property, whatever? And they're getting just a little bit of it, my clients. Oh, I heard about I can go to the moon if I had this interest rate. No, you can't go to the moon. You could buy a house. I don't know where the moon came in. You know, they just, it's too much information for them to wrap their head around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, buying it, cliche as it is, buying your first home in particular is kind of like eating an elephant. You're not going to do it in one sitting, that's for sure. And you got to take it pieces at a time,
like
digest
a
it. Well, all right. A cow.
What's this elephant made out of?
Yeah, right.
If so, it's pudding, we're on.
Taking it one step at a time and, you know, digesting that portion of it and getting the lending part out of the way, you know, ahead of time so that you are free to get out there and explore.
That's a huge tip right there. Is it makes your life so much easier if John's in your life sooner than, rather than later.
Yeah. A lot of people are threatened by that, especially when you don't know what you're
me?
Looking
threatening?
For yet. Threatened,
no.
Threatened by John, threatened yeah. by someone like myself, because especially if you don't know, if, in today's market, there's no urgency to buy. So, you know, we're not seeing six-figure equity gains year over year. You know, we keep talking about rates going up, but they're not. So there's, what is it that's really driving? Nothing. It's not, there's not a lot of urgency in the market. And so, you know, it's a little bit challenging today for someone to raise their hand and say, I'm for sure buying a house. Because we don't, a lot of people don't know. I spoke to a lady yesterday that was angry. And the reason was that she had been on Trulia and trying to figure out, or sorry, Zillow, and trying to figure out the value of her house, her yeah. Zestimate. And every time she reached out for information on that and also on homes that she may be interested in downsizing to, she got a call back from someone different on the same house. None of them knew what was going on with the particular listing.
Yeah.
And so she reached out for an online home evaluation from us, and we went out to meet with her so we could give her an accurate, not a Zestimate, but an accurate evaluation of her property. And she was angry. She's like, I need help. And yet there doesn't seem to be any. And there's a lot of times a lot of moving pieces. You know, we have a home to sell. We're concerned about the tax ramifications of that. We have a home to buy. We don't know whether we're going to buy or sell first. So I think, John, you're right, that this is a time where really you need that professional counsel that's from someone you trust and that's not going to try to, you know, sell you something, but just really some good guidance in today's market. So you can move forward with confidence.
Somebody that doesn't have commission breath, as I call it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also, I mean, people, do you ever cut your own hair or make your own clothes? I mean, and there's probably a couple people are going to say, yeah, I do that. Okay, yeah. We're not talking to you, the rest of you.
And there's probably a couple people that bought a house using Zillow.
Exactly. And they, I can't say for sure, maybe they got lucky, but I would love to look at that contract. I would love to look at comps and see
right.
if they got what they thought they got.
Most, I mean, it serves a place. Like WebMD has a certain role.
I look it up all the time.
You look it up all the time.
What's
and,
this?
And so that's a good example of, yeah, exactly. And everything ends up being a hangnail, right? You go through the whole thing and it's like, you got a hangnail again.
Absolutely.
But
it, walk
so
it off.
But it serves a purpose at some point. And then the industry has to sort of change to meet that, right? So now you get WebMD, and now I have my doctor, who's a Scripps Healthcare, who now allows me the ability to just email her a question if I have a question. So you see the market react, right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
That's what happens. And so I think that's what we'll see with real estate. The market will change to and adapt to the consumer's needs. And so we're just going to see.
And it should.
And it should. It needs to. It really needs to become more consumer friendly and less salesy. And that's, I think, the direction we're heading. Yeah.
Right on. All right. Well, coming up next, we are going to talk again to John Burroughs. We're going to find out everything there is to know about interest rates and money.
Oh, thank goodness. Finally.
Yeah, finally. This is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. Mr. John Burroughs.
Sir. Present and accounted for.
The Fed has tapered the bond buying,
yes.
Right?
Well, they've been doing that for months now, yeah.
Well, but I'm talking about it now, so.
Okay.
So the interest rates are going up, obviously.
Nope. Here's the deal.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. We got it. That's a wrap. No. Are we supposed to behave ourselves in this show?
Absolutely.
He and I broadcast.
I did not sign anything that said
all
I
right.
behave myself.
Okay. We can get as silly as we want.
The litigious one.
All that being said, not your normal radio finance show, folks. That's for sure. So what we're talking about, Fed started taping off Auntie Jan, as I call her, Jan Yellen.
Auntie Jan.
Uncle Ben's gone. Auntie Jan came in. And that's no secret. They're going to taper back the bond buying, and they went from the $85 billion and down to $75, et cetera. $10 billion increment reductions in that. Now, we're looking at the last purchase in the month of October. They pretty much said, hey, that's going to be it, folks. And a lot of times what happens when there's financial news out there, you've got these self-fulfilling prophecies going on. The market will react. You'll get a knee-jerk response. And back then, that did happen. Everybody was panicked, like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do without this big purchase of mortgage-backed security and, you know, long-term bonds, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that kind of, you know, softened the blow. We got a little reaction, and it's been slow enough, and we know there's an end to this, the QE3, quantitative easing. And in October, that goes away. But we all know it now, right? And rates are not going up. A lot of people think, well, why isn't that the case if we need the Fed to prop up the market? Well, that's turning out to be not the case because of other driving factors. The biggest one right now, and this is, you just turn on the news, you've got so much geopolitical hoopla going on in the world that casts uncertainty on the marketplace. That where do people run when they're worried about investments? European market, even China. The U.S., I mean, there's a day-to-day you get up and down bouncing around, and they're running back to the shelter of the safe harbor of those bond markets, and they're very much in favor at this point in time.
So the rest of the world is picking up our government slack?
Well, so
in a way,
so
to
speak, but also you're looking at very, very large investors, too. I mean, just plain Wall Street alone. If they're not investing in the equity markets, that money's got to go somewhere. And typically speaking, it's going to roll over into those perceived to be more secure investments, long-term, lower yields, albeit. But that's kind of what's happening here. And we all know housing, and we're going to talk about that at length because we're talking about inventory and what's going on with home sales. And you know, let's face it, real estate market's fallen off. The stock market is volatile. Rates are down, and they are holding and staying there. So at least the affordability factor for what it is, we're talking San Diego County now. But remember, a lot of this is you're talking the entire country.
So it's not your fault?
It's not my fault personally. Mm-hmm. They never call me for those decision-making situations. And your people in Wisconsin are totally different. That $100,000 house, well, you can get that there.
Sure.
But we're measuring things, you know, in the global and the United States marketplace as far as sales and statistics. So that being said, rates are holding steady. You're in, and I'm not quoting APRs and interest rates per se, but, you know, when you're getting loans in those 4%, low 4% ranges, even for high-end jumbo loans, I mean, $750,000, $1.1 million loans at low loan-to-values with good credit scores are still being traded out there close to the same rates as conforming marketplace.
What's a low loan-to-value?
Low loan-to-values for a high-end, I'm even seeing up to 70, 75% for a purchase in the $1.5 million range, getting a 75% loan at rates that are comparable to conforming.
Wow.
And government loans, those are your FHA and VAs, generally trade a little bit lower. You know, about 0.25%, 3/8 lower across the board. That's just 30-year notes. You've got 5% increments when you're talking Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac type loans. You can get 10-year amortization, 15-year, 20. The 25-year kind of disappeared, and I really don't know why. But then the 30-year notes, and all of those, the lower the term on the loan, the lower the interest rate. So when you get people in low 10-year loans down around 3.25%, hello?
What's someone going to use a 5% or a 5-year loan for? What do you see the typical animal for that?
Somebody who's a sophisticated buyer that knows exactly what their game plan is for that particular loan and situation. I'll give you an exact example.
Okay, okay.
A client of mine bought 3 years ago. They're on a government loan. They purchased with an FHA loan back then in the 550 category. They only had minimum down 3.5% payment at the time. So that means they're paying mortgage insurance. their interest rate is killer, but that mortgage insurance is also a killer.
Sure.
The other kind of killer.
Yeah.
And so they're looking at their property having appreciated. They put a substantial amount of improvement into it. Now they're looking at a property that's worth maybe $750,000, $800,000 with everything they did to it. They want to get rid of the mortgage insurance, but they also know, hey, I'm retiring in 5 years. I know it, and we are out of here. We are leaving California. So I said, well, why are you paying principal reduction with your appreciation going up the way it is? Why don't you look at a 5 or 7 year interest-only loan, a jumbo loan, because you're going to sell, pay down, and the savings per month from refining out of what he has now into that new loan was $1,000 a month.
Wow.
And so now I said, well, you can voluntarily pay that down on principal balance. Your mortgage insurance is toast. You can't take a tax write-off in anymore. He makes too much money to do so. So the scenario is something who is sophisticated enough to know his market, know his property, has a game plan that's rock solid, and he has no fear about what could happen to that loan. And by the way, when you look at a variable, when I pointed out to him and his wife in discussing in detail what's your worst case scenario, the what if it rolls over, that fully indexed note rate on a variable would be down to about 2.75%, roughly speaking, if today's pricing held straight, because it's based on the economic indicator, the index. Mm-hmm. So for a sophisticated person with a game plan, whether it's 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, adjustable rate mortgages still make a lot of sense for people.
Sure. Well, that's why they were invented. I mean, not just screw over people in the in 2008.
That was also, a whole different animal.
Well, it was, I mean, people make things to help, and then other people take them and manipulate them.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened there, too. And I'm even looking at 10-year variables right now. A lot of people look at that 10-year time frame because, you know, the gestation period of your average home loan in California is about 7 years.
Let's pretend like I don't know what gestation means.
And then that means how long do they keep the loan from the time they got it.
Ah.
And so it's about 7 years in California. In San Diego County, I think it's even less than that. So either buy, sell, refinance, or change the term for some reason somewhere along the line. That's average.
That's average. Every 7 years in San Diego?
Every 7 years. In nationwide, I think it's between 7 and 10. They're turning those loans over. So where's the fear if you know what's going to come down the road a little bit?
Well, John, you mentioned a clear exit strategy. Yeah. And the example that you gave was, I'm retiring on this date. That's a clear exit strategy.
That is a very clear one.
The problem that we had back in the day was a lot of people's clear exit strategy was, I'm going to sell in 2 years because I know I'm going to have $200,000 in equity. And then that didn't happen. That's not a clear exit strategy because you're leaving that to chance. It's a risk that you're taking. And so you're right with I think that a lot of people are afraid of the adjustable rate mortgage, but it does, when you look at the difference in payment and how much you're going to save, if you have that for sure exit strategy, it actually isn't a bad idea
today. That's the thing that it's so hard to be a for sure. Even that person who has that retirement date, there's couple thousand different scenarios that could derail that.
Well, like how many people's 401k went from, down by 65%?
Just as many people whose job went away.
In an hour and a half. So it's just a planning thing, looking at being safe about your mortgage, knowing what your plans are, your goals are, and your risk tolerance, of course, as you put it. But just looking at interest rates in general, we've come long, full circle back to that. In general, right now, I don't see them going up. If they do, it's going to be incremental. It's going to be small little bits here and there. I don't think you're going to see spikes because that's indicative of a whole nother market that just plain is not in place at this point in time. I'm not buying all of the happy tap dancing we're seeing on Wall Street. I'm not buying into that yet. Kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop at some point in time. That's just me being conservative.
Sure.
So I'll qualify that statement.
In San Diego, what are the loans that you do the most?
I would clearly say that's simple. I'm finding that's typically speaking, 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Although, Jack, I'm working with a different clientele because I'm a dinosaur in this business. A lot of my clientele.
He invented money.
Yeah. Not quite.
Rubles.
I invented how to spend it. They're mature. individuals. They are getting close to retirement. So this last year and a half, I've had more people requesting 10 and 15 and 20-year mortgages than my entire career.
Oh, wow.
Because they want to cut down the term and they want the house paid off. Now, that's not everybody. I tend to be pretty conservative.
Those are people who love their children.
But yeah, you're right.
Well, that's a great topic for next. Like, why is that?
Yeah.
And I have some real estate insights and why that is too.
Absolutely.
You know, why we're staying put and selling the house up.
Yeah, and I'm still getting the 30-year mortgages for those people that are coming in the door short term or buying. That's by far the most popular. Doing a lot of conforming lending. Yeah, that's loans of 417 and below. 546, 250 is the next bracket, and above that is considered a true jumbo loan. But still seeing lots of vanilla flavored conforming loan product out there.
Yeah, yeah, I see a lot of 20 straight up 20% down.
Yeah,
like it was back in the 1800s when you started.
Yeah.
We are Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. Stay tuned. Next, we're going to talk about why people are staying in their house and why the heck aren't they buying a house from me. Stay tuned. Orale, welcome back. Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. Last segment, we were talking about why for nobody leave? How come everybody's staying in their house? How come they're not moving or selling or croaking or something?
Oh.
Rebecca, please tell me.
Well, we were talking with John Burroughs, who is, like he said, a dinosaur in the industry, and he happens, you know, they say like attracts like, right? So we're talking about the
like
more...
to think of myself as a T-Rex, though, you know, rather than a brontosaurus.
Or flatter yourself, brother.
There's a lot of people in San Diego who have lived in their home for a long time, 20, 30 years, their whole lives, and are getting ready for retirement. That's what we're talking about, that plan for retirement. But what's unique, I think, today is that, you know, a lot of people are realizing that it's actually a wiser strategy just to stay put in retirement. And in the past, many people, empty nesters preparing for retirement, would downsize to the retirement home. And we're just not seeing that as often. And so that's why, John, you're seeing the refis, you know, to the 10-year. And the goal is to pay the house off for retirement. Well, the reason is they don't want a payment. They want to just live in the home forever. You got to think about the tax ramifications, you know, for people that bought a home for $32,000 in Point Loma, you know, back in the day, that now are sitting on this large amount of equity in the home. And the cost of taxes just to buy another house. They just can't afford to.
Well, they have that 50, or maybe they don't anymore, over 55 tax.
Yeah, it's still in place.
Oh, okay.
We're just seeing more people staying put, I think, in retirement. But that's one reason. And then, like I was saying, there's not a lot of urgency in the market to really do anything. So you really either have to be in a situation where you're just pinched for space, you need to make that move, maybe there's a job relocation, but just real reasons to buy or sell, because it's not as much of a market reason. You know, you don't have, you know, it's not a sure thing like it used to be, like where I could buy just about anything and still, you know, get, have the equity in the next few years. And if I make a mistake and just sell it and buy something else.
You could
and
just so make a mistake easily.
Yeah, you could buy anything and be a rock star in real estate. And so that's what's happening. And then the other thing that's happening in the market that I think is happening in real time that a lot of buyers and sellers may not quite recognize yet. And our market here changes so quickly. But what you and I, well, what we're all seeing on a daily basis is homes, more and more homes being listed at a pace that we would normally see, like in June. We're just seeing a lot more inventory come on the market every day. And that's really affecting the market in real time. So what does it mean if I'm preparing to list my home for sale? It means be very careful on how you price the home. And make sure you work with you interview several real estate agents. Actually, in my opinion, this is a good time to do that. Not just one, not just your friend who you've known for years that you promised when you sold your house you would list with them. Get a second opinion, especially when it comes to value. And don't just look at the solds in your neighborhood. If you just look at the homes in your neighborhood that have recently sold and list your house based on that information, you could be sitting on a house for sale for many months because you've got more competition today than you did back in June. So you have to look at the actives.
And also the pendings, because there's plenty of times, like if it's like a 2.5 months sold, it could already be $10,000 off, easy, mm-hmm. you know, in mm-hmm. certain neighborhoods. And so, yeah, those are definitely things to look at.
The neighborhood aspect is really important too. And we know this because we look at data all day long. But what we're seeing is it's zip code by zip code that's changing. So there are some zip codes that are still really hot markets, and there are others where it's really flat. And just to, not to generalize, but I think that what's happened this summer is that the really good school district zip codes have remained hot markets. As families go out and look for a home for their family, they want in the summer, the inventory levels have stayed tighter there, homes are selling faster. And in the zip codes that perhaps the school district isn't as good, you're seeing longer days on market. So these are just really important things to know if you're getting ready to list your home right now. You've got more competition coming on, and pricing it right is really, really critical. And like I said, I would just recommend getting a couple of opinions on that and make sure you don't make the mistake of just listing your home with the agent who gave you the highest number today. Make sure that they give you data. The last thing anybody wants is to, you know, have to have your home showing ready, all the lights on every day when you leave for work, and every dish clean and everything put away. It's a pain to have your house open for showing. So you want to make sure you list it at the right price today.
That's what you just said there, the exact opposite for analogy. The flip side, the other side of that coin would be hiring somebody to build a house who gave you the lowest bid. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at those people. Do they have their own tools? You know, look at the realtor, you know, and check them out, like Rebecca said.
I have a question here for you. Just what you said brought something to mind. When you're talking about longer times on the market and more inventory, isn't that really approaching the definition of what we call more of a balanced market? I mean, we've talked about buyer's market, seller's market, and it was seller's market very, very mm-hmm. positively that direction for quite a while here, and then all of a sudden it tapers off. But in my mind, a balanced market means there's give and take. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's healthy for prices mm-hmm. long-term, where there is some negotiation. Sure, you could have multiple offers, but they're not going to be crazy bidding wars. It's going to be reflective of what is realistic and true value on a property. Mm. Yeah. I don't mind paying top dollar for produce when I go to the high-end grocery store, organic, because I know what I'm getting, you know, but I'm not going to pay that same price for what I'm going to get at the
Arco,
at the discount store
where I like to shop.
Talk about, you know, but I mean, isn't that a healthy market, a balanced market?
Yeah,
are we headed that way?
I wouldn't say that the increase in inventory that we're seeing is a red flag for the market. It is a normal market, and so. It's just good to know and to understand if you're buying or selling that where we are and where we're headed. Because, John, like if you're buying a house, you need to know what's happening in the market in that specific area. Another reason to work with a real estate agent specifically for you, not necessarily just calling on the signs and going to open houses, but how do you formulate an offer today versus 3 months ago? It's completely different,
Like
in June, you know, in June, we would have had to really, really fire up a strong offer with a really good pre-approval from John in a letter, and it would probably have to be at or slightly above offer price. If you go in and offer on a house today in El Cajon, and you go in and just do full price, there's a good chance that you just paid too much for that home in today's market. And it's really difficult to know that unless you work with a professional, in my opinion, to really run the comparables for you and really know, is this what we need to do? Because you can get really creative in many parts of San Diego when you're buying today and get a good deal.
So the first time in years this year, I got to before we went in escrow, we went back and forth six counters. And I was like, after the third one, I was like in uncharted territory. Like, I don't even remember, like, wait, are those people real? Are they alive? Or am I being punked?
Well, you know something? I see that situation, or I used to see it all the time. Because remember, being the dinosaur I am.
Yeah, you've seen it all.
I've seen a lot
Pony
of
Pony Express has to bring the contract
right,
to them
exactly,
back and forth.
Back and forth. But I remember a very wise man, and I'm not being facetious about this, in real estate, when you come to those counter offers, it's like playing tennis. You never want to be the last one. You know, you want to be the last one to hit the ball over the net. Because if it's not coming back at you, you just keep the dialogue going. Even if your answer is the same one previously, just keep the ball moving, right? Because somewhere something might give.
I don't like to hit it last, because if they accept my last hit, I always think, I could have got another nickel out of them.
Well, you play Dennis different than I do.
We're playing with cubes, right?
Yeah, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so at any rate, yeah. So we haven't seen that in a while. And almost listening to you guys talk, as a lender, I'm kind of sitting here thinking, well, my job all of a sudden seems a lot easier.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot involved in a transaction in buying and selling real estate that a lot of people don't think about, you know, that there is a lot going on behind the scenes. And Jack and I know that there's a lot of conversations taking place between the listing agent and the buyer's agent, and just how important it is to list your home with the right person and to work mm-hmm. with the right person to really fight for you. You have to be a strong negotiator, and you also have to be professional and diligent and like a pit bull in this transaction mm-hmm. for your client to really get the best deal in today's market. So,
and what about the either one of you, just in general, have you had any appraisal issues? Because, you know, you can get an offer and get it accepted, and if you're coming in with a minimal amount of down payment, if that property doesn't appraise, that's going to affect the lending part of it. Now you have another whole problem. Mm. Have you run into that?
Because I can't figure out appraisers lately.
Yeah,
The last 2 years, I have no idea where they're coming from. Last year, I seen more over-appraisals than I'd seen in all 15 years. This year, I had a couple already, mm-hmm. but I haven't had any. I don't understand where they're coming from. I don't even know if they're from San Diego.
Well, that's one thing I can guarantee, that we were smart when we went through that process of the whole hoopla and the changes in the appraisal industry several years back, when everything hit the fan at every direction from everyone all at once. What we found is that we formed our own group, so we know we're dealing with licensed appraisers indigenous to San Diego County that know their markets here. So at least we know we're not allowed to pick them or designate who's going to do it or choose, but we know they're coming from a pool of people that were elected and chosen because they're professionals. So that's a good thing, and a lot of smart companies will do that.
Well, there's a lot of smart companies, but boy, there's more dumb ones.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure.
I'm one sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, we have not seen the appraisal issues that we did last year when the market took its big run, but especially on the buy side, I don't see any.
Yeah, well, I'm encouraged because I'm dealing with enough refinances. Believe it or not, there's still people that have not refinanced their properties. I'm talking to you folks.
So what's just real quick? What's the number? If I have a, if my rate is what should I call you? If it's over what?
I'm sorry.
If my interest rate right now is over what should I call you?
Everything's different. I can't answer that question because it's a math problem, and it's not just about rate, and I'm not trying to be evasive at all because I'm
finding
situations. Yes.
I like that, Rebecca.
Situations
guaranteed
are different.
Book
with
that, everybody. John Burroughs says 5.5.
Well, at least have a conversation.
Have a conversation because you may be shortening the term, or you may be going into a reverse mortgage. Aha, rate doesn't matter so much there.
There you go.
There's lots of variations on the theme.
Right on. Okay, well, coming up, we're going to play the greatest real estate game ever. Screw you, Monopoly. This is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. I am Jack Rowell, the very clumsy.
Jack, we're laughing at you, not with
you.
No,
I understand
I
that.
See the headphones. Yeah. He's got them wrapped around his ear still.
I was really trying to hustle and get back on the mic on time.
He's going
to
hang himself with his headphones.
Again, I'm a great athlete. That's why I'm on ESPN.
Good thing this isn't television.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. They wouldn't have me on TV with my mug. Welcome back. It's a good thing you stuck around. We are about to play the greatest game of real estate ever invented. It's called Over Under At. The rules are real simple. There's going to be somebody calling in with some properties. Actually, it's going to be OB, a Junkhole Real Estate. He's going to be the feature of the listings. He's going to present us a little bit of information about the property and the price. We're going to say if it's over, under, or at market. The at has to be a swing within $5,000.
Okay. This will be simple because San Diego's like so cookie cutter.
You're going to like it. Yeah. He's going to give us an address. He's going to give us
the address. Okay,
absolutely.
Everything's
I didn't bring my phone in.
Okay, I'll bring it up
on
Google Maps.
I'll just do his estimate. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do it.
OB, are you there? OB.
Yes.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm very good. OB from Junk Call Real Estate. He has our featured listings today. What's the first one, OB?
This one's in Carlsbad at 545 Anchor Way.
Anchors away.
Anchors away. what kind is it?
It is a detached condo. Mm-hmm.
What's the zip?
92008.
East or west of the five?
Detached. West of the five.
Ooh, starting. The price just went up.
Is it 55 and older or a regular?
Regular.
All righty. No. All righty. Well, then let's start. Miss Rebecca Austin.
Well, do I get to know the price or I'm going to call it?
Oh, that's right.
I'll call it.
You know, I forgot about that whole price thing. Yeah, what's the price, brother?
It's a four bedroom, 2.5 bath.
Yep.
Square
feet.
For 649
list price?
Yep.
What was the square feet on that?
1977.
Two-story?
Two-story, yep.
All right, I'm gonna go first.
1877.
1877. Okay, now that I'm gonna have to readjust my price by 100 feet. I'm gonna say that is under market. I said it.
All right.
HOA.
There is an HOA of $70. The HOA covers the front yard maintenance and fire insurance.
Under. John Burroughs.
I'm saying it's at.
Okay, we got two under and one at. OB, unveil.
Well, a model match closed yesterday for $650. So
Does
that mean I win?
But it has been on the market for 50 days, and we are waiting to sell this thing.
Sure. Hmm. So now, out of that little bunch there, I guess we're at market value, right?
That would seem to be the case.
Right on. So what are some of the other amenities about this place?
It has a two-car garage, a front yard, a backyard, largest backyard in the neighborhood. It has a teal tile downstairs and an updated kitchen, a large master bedroom and a large master closet, and it's about four blocks to the beach walking distance.
Is there a path or like a do you gotta cross streets and all that to get that, or is there like sometimes I've seen paths or tunnels?
Tamarack,
okay,
and you went about two blocks west, it's just before the railroad tracks.
Okay.
And
I'm surprised.
Great spot. I'm surprised too. I can't believe that.
Vacant. Is it vacant or currently?
No, there is. It's owner occupied.
Okay. Yeah, it still sounds like a good deal to me.
It sounds like a great deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
I might have to dig through my buyer list.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody that is. The condos on the other side of the tracks, about half this size with a one-car garage and no yard and $300 HOA, are selling for $600, and we're at $650 for about an extra 700 square feet with yards, lower HOA, detached. It's just being on the other side of the railroad tracks makes that big of a difference, it seems.
Sure. Absolutely. Noise and all that. All right, OB, give us your other property.
Okay. I have in Oceanside at 1768 Walton Street, three bedroom, one bath, 944 square feet, priced at $339 to $359. So that goes outside of your $5,000 margin of error with having a $20,000 range.
I didn't think of that. That makes it easier to go at. All right, has this been remodeled?
It has been remodeled. It has travertine slab countertops and travertine brick floors, stonework, and it's a one bathroom, three bedroom, one bathroom, on almost a quarter acre, 9,500 square foot lot with a view, and long driveway, one car garage. Everything was gutted down to, there's a window that was a piece of glass that was left, and one bedroom, the drywall was left on the ceiling, and they just resurfaced it. Other than that, gutted, all the drywall replaced, all the flooring replaced, repainted, redone, and like I said, it's a view lot.
Okay.
How many days on market right now?
Five.
5 days, and that's not going to stay around long. Okay, I'm going to jump it off. I'm going to say that is at market.
Yeah, that's a safe bet.
Jack. I'm a coward.
OB, zip code?
92054.
Okay. Year built?
1954.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's got great potential.
It does.
What you're
that
telling
one bath
me.
Thing
I'm thinking
is killing
about
me.
The second bathroom.
Yeah.
And somebody who wants to take and change that thing into their home.
Yep.
It's got the view.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, OB, with the Oceanside Market. That was the fastest selling zip code in the mm-hmm. county in the front end of this season. And that's the one that's really, you got to be real careful. I almost want to take a risk and say, well, that range is big. It's probably at. I'll play safe and say at.
I'm going to say it's at the upper end of the range.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
What we got, OB?
Well, because of the remodel, it is selling about $30,000 to $40,000 above the properties that are close by. Mm.
But they're not remodeled, right?
For $40,000, you get the complete remodel,
sure.
The larger lot, and the view.
Right on. OB, tell us. Tell everybody if they're interested in that those properties, your contact info.
My phone number is 760-994-2404.
Say that one more time.
760-994-2404.
All righty. What's your website?
It is junklerealestate.com, and that's www.jun, as in Nancy, C-A-L. California, realestate.com.
Right on. Hey, OB, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your properties with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one. Hey, so while we're at explaining phone numbers and all that, John, how do people get a hold of you?
If anybody needs me for real estate finance needs, my number directly, 760 area code 944-6555. Again, John Burroughs, Rancho Financial, 944-6555 in the 760 area code.
There you go. Rebecca
Austin. Good job, John. It's like you've done that before.
Yeah. Of Alliance Group. I haven't said that enough. She is the broker of Alliance Group.
Yeah, one of the three. Yeah, it's a big crew.
They're like minor.
Yeah, just a little. 760-231-8150 for me. 760-231-8150 or RebeccaTeamRealEstate.com.
Anybody wants to get a hold of me, check me out. ESPNJack.com, just like it's spelled, ESPNJack.com. This is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN. Thank you ever so much for being with us.